We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Lightyears listeners? We're excited to invite you to the official Lightyears/Warriors World Draft Party, July 29th at Standard Deviant Brewery in San Francisco.
Our first official show post-pandemic, food, drinks, real-time draft analysis, Q&As, special guests, free merch giveaways. And remember, your first drink is on us with a ticket purchase.
We are excited and can't wait to see you there. Info to purchase tickets can be found on our social feeds and official Lightyears link tree. And welcome to Lightyears Radio. Andy Liu, we got a busy, busy day. Lightyears After Dark, best Warriors interactive show you're going to find. Only show where the fans get the sound off.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. We don't just sit here and just talk to the fans and yell at the fans. We let the fans yell at us.
And believe me, there's endless amounts of people who want to yell at you. But With that said, let's start. So I feel like the number one news item of today to get into, and by the way, if you want draft talk, listen to our last episode with Jonathan Wasserman. I feel like that's like the perfect primer.
Oh, yes. Go for it. That and another thing, the draft show. Guys, this is going on the main feed. We really appreciate everyone buying tickets. They are sold out. I didn't think we could do it. Sam did. I'm wrong, per usual. Sold out. There will be more tickets at some point. Right, we just don't know how many. We got to figure that out.
The venue has asked us to stop. They want to see what they can accommodate. We'll probably sell tickets the week of. If you didn't get a ticket, just pay attention. The week of the draft, we will put a few more on sale. Might be 5, might be 50. Don't know. You just want to pay attention. Anyway,
tickets. Go on StubHub. Scalp them.
Anyway, so Shams Charania put out an article today with kind of, you know, general musings around the league. And in this, he notes, the Philadelphia 76ers have opened up trade conversations surrounding Simmons and have engaged with teams, sources told The Athletic. These sources also say that teams have engaged with the Sixers about Simmons, have been met with a high price threshold for the three-time All-Star. The Sixers want an All-Star caliber player in return, one source said, etc. So the first thing I think of when I see something like this, Andy, is who's leaking it? Because I think you and I both are connected enough. We know well enough. Teams have been talking about this forever. Maybe it's serious, maybe it's not, but it's like anyone who watches basketball can see that the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid partnership has, it's just not working, right? It's just not working. And it's just kind of a question of when they make a decision like this, right? So I always start with who leaked this. Who do you think? I mean, because Shams is kind of a player guy, and he has good relations with Clutch, who happens to represent
Ben Simmons.
I'm assuming it's a player agent leak, but the way he's wording it with the high price threshold, it makes me think it's both sides.
And I also found it very interesting that he also wrote a weird line. I read it like twice. It said that they have a great relationship off the court. right? Like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have been better friends.
That's the agent part. Yes.
Very odd. Like, okay, like, I guess, you know, you're trying to make both guys likable, because that's the thing, right? Like those guys obviously don't fit on the court, but it always felt like, I don't know if these guys actually like each other off the court. Like these guys were always kind of a star-crossed couple. It just never really made sense. But it's about time we got
just two different personalities, right? Like one, yeah, exactly. You know,
it's about time. I mean, it's about time. Like Steph, here's the thing: I always felt was funny with Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Like I don't feel like those guys are the groomsmen at each other's weddings. Maybe they are, but like I don't think that's the case with those guys, right? But they're great friends. Like, they're great friends. You never hear any stories about those guys hanging out all the time, though. Clay's on his boat. Steph's with his family. Draymond's doing his thing, you know, with the rest of the goons.
Clay's going to end his life in, like, a perfect storm, honestly. So
but, like, those guys aren't, like, they're not, those three aren't hanging out, grabbing wine, watching shows or something. Like, that isn't it. So, with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, like, those guys, you just never felt like it was that, but it felt like a far worse. But yeah, the thing is, like, hasn't this Ben Simmons stuff been a thing for a year plus now, right? Like, I guess it's time. It's official that he's gone.
Yeah, and so to me, the leak also sounds like the offers that have been put out there for Ben Simmons are a non-starter. Because
shocking.
As much as we can say they got to trade him and it doesn't fit and Ben Simmons is kind of declining, he's off of his worst playoffs, which I didn't, you know, it's not like he's been good in the playoffs in the past, but like this is the worst he's ever played. He's still under contract for 4 more years. So Philly always gets to be like, we don't have to do that trade. We can keep him. We can keep him and run this back and get to the second round again and again. And again. You know, like they can do that if they want. So like, to me, it sounds like they've gotten a lot of lowball offers. You know, I saw at one point there was like Malcolm Brogdon and a pick. I don't even know if I buy that was an offer. That seems kind of like, you know, if they're offering you Brogdon and a pick, that feels like it's kind of close to getting a deal, right? Like that's a pretty decent return, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd agree. Brogdon's my favorite player of all time, apparently, because I've brought him up every single podcast. I also think it's like, what's the deadline to make this trade, right? Like whatever the deadline is, we'll see the best offers 24 hours before. Like the Warriors probably picked up the phone and said, you guys want Andrew Wiggins in number 14 and Daryl Morey didn't even pick up. Like he probably said, just text me the offer. Like don't waste my time, Bob. And then, but you know,
Smiley. Smiley, floor spacing for Embiid.
Like you could play a small ball five or backup, you know. But like a week before the season, if that's the deadline when Ben Simmons needs to go, then the Warriors are probably going to say, or maybe like on draft day, whatever, they'll just go, all right, well, here you go. Here's 4 unprotected first and 16 pick swaps, right? Like if they want to make it happen, whatever it is. So I don't know. Do you think they'll hold on to him into the season, I guess is a better question. Well, we also have to talk about the fit. So those two things. Those two things are good topics.
So I think the leak is to try to get more serious offers because I think they want to get a trade done by the beginning of free agency. Like all things perfect. If I'm Philly, I want to get this done sooner than later so I can enter free agency knowing what I want to add. Like if you trade Ben Simmons for a shooting guard, you're gonna probably want to pursue different things in free agency than if you trade him for like a power forward, right? That sort of stuff, right? So I do think that there is some motivation to kind of get the offers cooking. And also the draft is usually a great time to get deals because everyone's always moving picks and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know that they're getting it. That's my thing. They're kind of it feels like desperation to leak this right now where it's like saying no one's offering me anything.
Yeah. All right. In terms of the types of offers, if you're the Warriors, the package, the one that makes sense is the standard one. It's Wiggins, Wiseman, 7 and 14, right? Like, and everybody's going to say, oh my God, it's everything. Do you want to do that for Ben Simmons? Right. Would you do that?
I don't know if I would. Here's my thing. I would have done that for Ben Simmons 2 years ago.
Oh, you really think, wow, stock is that low. Wow.
I have a major, I pause with like mental issues. if his issue was just shooting threes, I'd be like, yeah, bring him in. We can work with that. But he's now afraid to take layups because of the free throw line. I don't know where you go with that. I threw this point out on Twitter, Andy, and I think legitimately the Warriors could win a title without Ben Simmons shooting threes if Ben Simmons was willing to take it to the rack consistently, kind of play that Giannis type of role, live with the fact that sometimes he doesn't make his free throws, but just be relentless going to the rack and like taking advantage of everything else he does. Yeah, their spacing would not be amazing. It'd be three shooters and then Ben Simmons, who doesn't want to shoot, and Draymond, who kind of floats around and pretends to shoot but doesn't really shoot the ball either. But I think it would work because of the talent level. But when Ben Simmons is not even willing to attack the rim because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line, that scares me. That really scares me. And I don't know, man. Like, I think it has to scare other teams too, because, you know, it's one thing if he needs to improve his free throws or improve his jump shot. It's another thing if he's like afraid.
I think that's fair. And I think if you're talking about the fit portion, Andre Iguodala is the fit that comes to mind, but Andre Iguodala shot threes and he made
them. I don't think they're similar at all, because Andre is like a pure wing. And I kind of feel like Simmons offensively is like, he's like Draymond. He's like a big, right?
Oh, yes. But I also think that he handles the ball. He's another guy that Steve Kerr is probably going to like in that aspect. He defends, and he can defend a lot of positions. And so you can play him at the four right next to Draymond in closing lineups. That's what they've done, although Andre was more the three. But that still works. Like, that'll work on that team, but the at least the one thing you can count on is Iguodala. Like, he's gonna make some big shots and he's gonna shoot them. And like you're saying with Ben Simmons, that's just not gonna happen. And then you've got two guys that are like, we're not talking about like 8 points a game. We're talking complete zeros. I don't know. End of the day, I kind of still, I think really hard about that. That is a lot of talent you're throwing out there. And if he can, like, he is a guy that has scored 20, 30 points at a time. Do I think that it's suddenly all gone?
I don't know. That's the thing. You would have to convince me that you could, you could get him back to attacking the ring. Someone in the chat said, does Ben Simmons solve any of the Warriors' issues? Here's what I would say. He improves the team IQ. He improves them defensively. I know they had a top five defense, but objectively, he's a better wing defender than Wiggins. He's a better wing defender than Klay Thompson, assuming coming off of injury. And he's first team all defense. He is that good on defense. What really matters to me is he willing to attack the basket? Because the Warriors' biggest offensive weakness, in my opinion, is not shooting. It's getting to the rim. 20th in field goal attempts at the rim, 23rd in free throw rate. If it wasn't Steph, no one else on this roster is getting to the rim. Wiggins, for all his athleticism, is just never going to be that guy. Draymond, I mean, we throw a party when he takes one layup, honestly. I can keep going down the list. Like, this team doesn't have anyone who can take advantage of anything inside. In theory, Wiseman should be able to do that on some level, and on good nights he did last year, and like, that's something he should improve on. But like, if Ben Simmons can come in with just a physical aggression to attack the rim, he would actually be a huge offensive plus for them, because that's one thing they don't have. Like, obviously you want someone to also be able to shoot the ball who does that, but like, sometimes you don't get the full package. But the reality is, he isn't that guy right now, and I don't know how you can sell me that like, you're gonna be the one who like gets him back.
A couple of things, and I feel like we're a little bit too long on this topic now. We got to get to other things. But I think the last thing is, Ben Simmons comes in, he's probably the third option, right? Like, Draymond's still the traffic cop. Steph Curry's still Steph Curry. You've got Klay spacing the floor. And then Ben Simmons is kind of the third, fourth guy. And you want him to be better than that, but at least there's less pressure. Again, if you're going to make the Western Conference Finals, you're going to want him to play better. But I mean, if you make the Western Conference Finals, you're in the Western goddamn Finals. Like, I don't know how you can sell me that you're doing that right now with Andrew Wiggins. Like, you're not selling me that. Like, that's not happening. You're not selling me that Franz Wagner at 14 is doing it for me. So yeah. I would lean towards making that gamble, but I'm not, you know, you could sell me easily on why the Warriors wouldn't do it. Like, I wouldn't be mad about it, but I think I'd do it, Sam.
I will say this. If you can lower the price, I'm in on the gamble. I'm just not ready to throw the full gamut at him. Like, honestly, I value Pascal Siakam much more than him because I don't. If Siakam makes a mistake, it's because he made a mistake. It's not because of a mental issue. You know what I'm saying? And I can live. I trust Siakam to continue improving. He has got better, even though his jump shot was kind of subpar this year. But he has got better in terms of being a basketball player every year. More trustworthy, reliable person. Whereas Ben Simmons, I just don't know. I don't know, man. I have a very hard time with like the Chuck Knoblauch, like mental block type of thing. Should we move on to the next topic? Let's move on to the next topic before we open this to questions.
Let's go Clippers.
Clippers. All right. It was announced today. Kawhi Leonard, partial ACL tear. Based off of what I'm seeing, that's going to rule him out for next season. Right. There's a chance he can be back next playoffs. I don't know. Nothing about Kawhi's health has indicated fast returns. He's always taken the more cautious approach with his body. So, you know, I feel bad for the Clippers. I firmly believe they would have won the title if they were healthy. I think they're better than Phoenix, but you know, that's the way sure. it goes sometimes. Sure. Right. And now I just don't know if they're ever going to get a chance because who knows what they're going to do. And this has brought up a question we've talked about in the past. If the Clippers decide, okay, Kawhi is out this year. Let's do a mini tank and, you know, just kind of try to get as many assets as possible so that like when Kawhi comes back, we can build a different team. Do you throw it all to get Paul George?
Yes. Pascal Siakam, Ben Simmons, I think on a similar tier of you can sell me or you can't. Like, I'm with it either way. Paul George, look, man, we've talked about this before. Come on. And this is, by the way, we talked about this before Paul George did what he did against the Phoenix Suns. Like, against the Phoenix
Suns. When the PG stock was low, when there was a lot of pandemic P jokes, we were still believers on the show.
Yeah. And you know you're a higher believer than me and Paul George. George is a fine player.
I might be the biggest Paul George. I really don't know why.
Only. Yeah, you might be the only one because Paul George makes it easy to make fun of him. That's why. Like he makes it easy to make fun
of
him.
He really does walk himself into jokes. Like I can admit that. It's like, why would you say that, man? Why would you?
Now the thing is, and real quick on Kawhi, speaking as someone with a partial tear. What he probably did is he just ripped the thing apart. And I asked a buddy of mine who was a doctor, and he said, yeah, it's probably what they did because there's no other way around it. So he's gone. It's like Klay Thompson when Klay tore his ACL. Sure, Sam, I guess like you were saying, come back at the end of the season, but have we ever seen Kawhi do that?
I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie had a partial tear, and he had the normal surgery. Rehab time is essentially the same.
It's the same. Like, he's done, right? And so – well, Paul George, you do that. You do that every single time. Now, it was a little bit weird that Paul George wasn't that confident when Kawhi was in the lineup. I think that was a Kawhi problem because when you play with Kawhi, it's a little bit different than playing with Steph Curry, right? Steph's saying, I'm cool with you taking your shots, Paul George, in the flow of things. Like, you don't need to look at me all day long, right?
Well, Kawhi's not really a playmaker.
Nope. Right.
Nope. And neither is Paul George. They're both like good passers, but like there's a difference between them and Steph Curry in the sense of they're looking to get their shot first and then pass if they're guarded, basically.
Doesn't really work.
It was clunky. I thought it worked, but it was kind of a talent thing, you know, where it was was clunky, but like at a certain point, talent's more important than fit.
Like you say the Clippers would have beat the Suns with Kawhi. Yeah, most likely. But Paul George was also playing completely different with Kawhi on the court. Like that stuff matters where you just got two guys that just, yeah, they're good friends and they're very talented, but they just can't play with each other. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Anybody can play with those guys, right? Like anybody could. You saw what happened with KD and Paul George, essentially like a tier like a two tiers below KD, but still a fantastic
player. I will say this. I don't think Paul George played poorly with Kawhi as much as it just looks bad. It looks worse when he has a bad game because Kawhi never has bad games. Like when PG goes 5 for 15, you don't think anything of it if there's no Kawhi next to him. But if Kawhi's going like 9 for 15 next to him, you're just like, come on, man. Why aren't you doing your half of the bargain, right?
Kawhi is like LeBron. He just and KD, those guys really just never have a bad game statistically.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, Kawhi has one of those like 6 for 18 inefficient nights. It feels like once every 15.
I just don't think that fit ever worked out. But Warriors fit. It's perfect. You throw everything. You can't disagree with me on that. Wiseman.
No. Wiggins, my real question is. And by the way, I'm okay with giving up that package because the Warriors would have all their future picks. So, like, because here's the reality of the issue. Paul George is the same age as Klay and Draymond. So, sure. Like, you're going all in, and that's fine because you have the team that's worth going all in on. But at some point, you do have to be afraid of trading too much of the future. If you're just trading picks this year and Wiseman, you're not actually really trading the future. Because you still have your 2022, 2023, 2025 picks. What scares me is if he requires one of those deals where it's like you give him like 6 pick swaps in the future and they own your draft rights in like 2027 when Steph is like 39 years old and Clay's 37. And like, you know, they're probably not going to be that good. And you kind of want that pick. Like, I would rather give up Wiseman, the 7, the 14. And just deal with the fact that, like, they're probably going to have a down year in the future, but at least the Warriors have their picks.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that. I mean, at least you'll be able to build around. Yeah, I mean, I can't. Now, would you say hard no to that, though? If they say, hey, we need the 20, whatever it is, like 2025.
2026, whatever.
2026. Yeah, exactly. What if they said we just need that one? Like, we need an unprotected 2026. Is that the deal breaker? Like, I think that's where it becomes tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're willing to give them the upfront stuff, like you're willing to give them Wiseman, who was the number 2 pick last year, and the number 7 pick this year, like we know where the number 7 lands. It's a very good pick. Then I don't know if you can give them stuff in like 2026 or 2027. It's kind of got to be a one or the other thing, right? I'm willing to go. I'd actually be willing to give those future picks if they were able to keep Wiseman. Or, you know, whoever they get at 7, whatever. But it's like, you can't do both because the reality is on some level, you have to keep a little optionality for the future in some capacity. Like, you know, it's just the reality. Like you bring in Paul George, you're basically committing to the fact that you're hoping to win at least a couple titles in the next 4 years. And that's worth it.
That's a 3-4-year window.
Yep. And then you're gonna bottom out. But if you're gonna bottom out, you at least want the pick so you have a chance to draft, I don't know, the 2026 James Wiseman, right? Something like that.
I mean, yeah, if you're telling me that this team with 3 titles in the bank can win 1 or 2 more, and you're telling me that we're gonna see 4 or 5 titles from this team, I mean, yeah, I'm gonna live with. I guess I don't want to be too hyperbolic and say like I'd give that pick up too, but man, like that is a. Look, the Clippers are gone. They are gone in terms of contender at this point. The Lakers, who the hell knows where they're going? Like, who knows where they're going? And then you've got the Denver Nuggets with Jamal Murray coming
off the ACL. Maxing Dennis Schroeder and tormenting them the way they deserve it.
I saw a Kemba Walker rumor today. Like, what are we doing there? And then LeBron's going to be 36. And then you've got Denver, who's a pretty fraudulent team. You got the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul, one of their best players, is going to be 36 again. Like, we're talking about a Western Conference that's damn good, Sam, but you add PG to the 3 guys that the Warriors have.
I mean, and it's a perfect fit, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
I guarantee you Steve Kerr would prefer Paul George to James Harden. I mean, Paul George is his perfect type of player. He's a team basketball guy, phenomenal 4-5 position defender. doesn't dominate the ball. Kerr would get to run his preferred system. And quite frankly, I think Steph and Clay and those guys would prefer to play with a guy like
I agree.
Paul George, who plays more like a pure wing than bringing in a guy who wants to like dribble it all over the
place. I agree. I don't think you're crazy. You're right. James Harden, probably a better player. If you want to start a team, actually, he is a better player. If you want to start a team, you want James Harden. He's fantastic. But for a team that already has Steph Curry, who's a top two player in the NBA, top damn near the best player in the NBA, like, you don't need a guy that's bang, 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 pound the ball all day long. You need a guy
that... No, you want a guy who can play in confluence of what you're trying to do. Yeah.
But, like, he's also, like, a super, super sized role player while at the same time could play like a star. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, I mean...
He defends, passes, rebounds, shoots, like, all those things. And I don't know. I don't think Paul George is killing someone if he only shoots 10 times a game, you know, one game, right? Like, can you imagine James Harden doing that, right? Like he's, to me, it's as perfect as the KD fit was. It's just that PG's worse. He's shorter. He's not as good of a shooter, right? He's not
better defender, but obviously not as good on offense. Because I mean, right. who is as good on offense as him, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you there. I think it's a no-brainer. It'll be interesting to monitor how that situation goes because we don't know what the Clippers are going to do, but obviously this kind of ruins what they were planning to do next season. So that happens. Okay. You want to do a Team USA take or open it to questions?
Quick Team USA take. Yeah. Let's do maybe 5 minutes on this in questions. I watched the game today. They won by 30. So they look great today, but
by the way, the replay is going right now.
Right now.
NBA TV.
Shout out
Kevin Dana. Our guy.
Oh, our guy. Better than Drew Schiller at announcing. So I think with Team USA, they're a tough watch. I think that's the only take I have. They are a tough watch. I don't find them that entertaining to watch. Maybe part of it is I have to watch Draymond Green do the same thing where he just kind of doesn't shoot layups and stands in the middle of the court and hands it off all day long. It's like, oh, yeah, I see that already 80 times a game, and it's fantastic. And the defense is fantastic. But I'm watching this team. I'm not entertained. Like, I don't watch this team and I'm saying, yeah, this is Team USA. I'm not doing that. Like, it's not what I'm doing with these guys. They're fine. They're probably going to win. They're extremely talented. I don't really play hard. It's like, I'm watching these guys. And I'm like, yeah, Sam, if they're on NBA TV throughout the Olympics, I honestly don't care. Like, they're not entertaining.
Relax.
That's my only take.
I have two takes. One, I think Zach LaVine is on the precipice of taking it up a tier in terms of his game. He's always had the skill level. I feel like the IQ is starting to catch up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always been a three-level scorer with outrageous athleticism and all the skill to go with it, but kind of made questionable decisions. I do feel like he's starting to kind of it's starting to click for him, be a little smarter with how he picks his spots. But my other take is, it is hilarious watching NBA players not get those grifter whistles anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. Every one of these players is capable of adjusting to it. And it's going to take them a minute.
Yes.
All it does is make me angry at the way the NBA officiating is going these days. Because the league has basically made it impossible to play defense. And FIBA defensive rules are... just, they're more in line with the intent of the game. They're more in line with basketball at every other level, how you played in high school, how you see college played. Like, the NBA should adopt the FIBA rules with regards to how defenders are able to use their hands, how physical they're allowed to be. I think that would make the NBA a much better product because we've all seen the highlights on social, and it's hilarious to watch. Like, It's hilarious to watch Kevin Love try to pump fake to draw the three-point shot. But it's hilarious because we all know that's not real basketball. And it's bad for the game that it's officiated that way. Because all these guys are capable of playing against more physical defense.
Normal basketball.
Just do it.
Just play normal. I'm with you. And I tweeted about it all yesterday. We all are. It's okay, first of all, with Zach LaVine – that's what I think of when I see James Bouknight. That's what I'm praying for. So that's awesome that he's playing, that you love him.
2026, he's going to be LaVine.
I know. LaVine's 26. It's been a long time coming. the whistle stuff, it's not the player's fault. Like, do I blame
Damian
Lillard?
It's 100% the league's. Like,
100%.
If you told me I could get 10 free throw attempts by doing like a neck snap, I would do a neck snap too. You know, like it's just like you. Bradley Beal wants to win games. Damian Lillard wants to win games. Obviously, they're going to implement strategies to get to the free throw line if the refs are going to reward it. It's just reality.
The only guy, and I find it's always super funny because these guys are so good at it. Steph sucks at it. And every time you see Steph do one of these things, you're like, well, one, he doesn't get the call. Or two, it's like, dude, you're going to get hurt. Right. So, or it's just like, Steph, you just shoot your shot normally, you have a better chance of making it than just drawing the foul. So I always think that's really,
I really think that's what it comes down to with Steph, where you're like, dude, just throw it up. Like, I'll take the chances it goes in.
like it's probably going in. Don't, there's no need to foul bait. So, yeah, I'm with you. I didn't see much of it today. And, you know, it'll probably take them maybe one game to adjust. And again, this team's got so much talent, so much freaking talent that they should roll through these guys. I guess the other take I have too is maybe you get some more role players on this team would be nice. They kind of need guys where like they know what they should be doing, or they just have those players accept what they should be doing.
I don't think the roster. So they could use another big man for me, but it's like I'm just looking at it like.
Hold on.
Tatum's a okay. Go ahead.
I think with these guys, they kind of need to. I hate to say it this way, but you kind of need to know the role that you need to play.
True.
It's like with Wade. Remember that Redeem team? Like they had all superstars, but those guys kind of knew what they needed to do. It was like Kobe.
Or like how Kobe Apex, was a defensive right?
yeah.
stopper.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's not – I mean, he could D up, but like he wasn't a defensive stopper for the Lakers. but like for Team USA, it's like, yeah, we don't need you to take 25 shots. So do that. And that's part of where, you know, they've had less practice time than other Team USAs because the – season and the pandemic and everything. So it shouldn't be too surprising. It makes it a little more interesting, quite frankly. It makes me more excited to watch the tournament because they're more vulnerable. Like they should win gold, but it's by no means a lock that they will. Right.
Yeah. We'll see. I just don't think they're fun to watch, but I watch every game, you know? So I'm not the, I don't think they're intending.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get to some callers. We appreciate everyone. Maxwell, what's up, man?
I came in pretty late. I wasn't expecting to be picked. Okay. I have two questions for you guys, and you guys kind of touched on the first one about the lack of whistles in the FIBA games, and I was wondering between these two things, what do you think would be more beneficial for the league? One, as you said, the less frequent whistles and not giving the bullshit calls, or two, how the media talks about the game and kind of removing the hating on players and you know the LeBronification of basketball dialogue in general. That was my, and I also have another thing, Warriors related. do you guys even really want to root for Draymond as a player anymore? Because I find myself not really wanting to root for him anymore because, you know, I watched him the entire year last year and he was amazing defensively, but the shit he says after being as awful as he was on offense, it's kind of just, it just rubs me the wrong way. And I was wondering if you, what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, that's good. Sam, you want to take one? Yeah, I take one.
Yeah. So Maxwell, by the way, we appreciate the question. We can talk about NBA media coverage, and I think we're all in lockstep and thinking it'd be better if they talked about the game and less about narratives. But ultimately, if they change the way the if they let players play defense a little more, if they let a little more hand checking go, a little less freedom of movement, ultimately, I think I'd like that more.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, I'm with you with the Draymond stuff. No, because I think we've seen that's what Draymond does the last two seasons. That's kind of who he is. He used to be a lot more like that to other teams outwardly, and I think that used to be the cool part of rooting for Draymond is he was really bombastic at all times, and he would make fun of other teams and other players. Not make fun, but trash talk, and that stuff was really cool. I think nowadays he's getting very defensive of who he is. And Sam, I think part of that is he's not that good anymore. So you're right. Kind of seeing someone that's just – getting a more defensive. I think it's fine. It's annoying. It's fine. But also he goes out there and he was fantastic defensively when it mattered down the stretch of the regular season. I don't care what he says as long as he brings that part of the game. The other stuff is you want him to shoot more, but that has nothing to do with talking. That's just, we just got to keep praying, right? That he's just going to shoot better from three. So we got three championships, the best defensive player of the generation. Can't not root for the guy.
Agreed. Ryan, what's up, man?
Nothing much. Just got done moving. New house. All that stuff.
Congrats.
Good luck. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, three things. First, on the Team USA stuff, I think the issue with this Team USA roster is A, they don't have enough people on the perimeter to put pressure on the ball, especially at the point guard and shooting guard position. Tatum's probably their best wing defender, and now he's injured. And secondly, they really don't have a playmaker that looks for other people's shot before a shot outside of Draymond Green. And that's also an issue. I feel like the roster construction is off in that way. And then secondly, Zach LaVine is the guy that if we're going to sell the farm for someone, it's him, because he's going to take the Olympic jump, I believe. And if Chicago wants to sell on him, he's like, you know what? I'm going out in free agency. He's the guy. And then also shout out to Greg Popovich for going after LeBron Erotica, Joe Varden. That's it.
Lebrotica, is that how we call it? Lebrotica fan fiction.
Joe Biden is shameless. Honestly, I'm impressed.
I'm also impressed. But what was I going to say? Oh, so he brings up the Zach LaVine point. That'll be the interesting thing to monitor. So, like, everyone knows Team USA is kind of tampering, like Ground Zero. If the Warriors do not make a move with regards to trading Wiseman and their picks, I truly believe it's because they think someone better will come along later. Like, they don't want to sell low. And it could be a Team USA thing. It could be Draymond telling Bob, don't sell the farm. LaVine's unhappy. He's going to demand out in 3 months. You know, something like that, right? Like, you could see something like that. I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know. So I don't know. I don't actually like the thing about all the trade packages we discuss right now. It's like, I don't think any of them are no brainers. Like the Ben Simmons one's not a no brainer. Siakam's not even available yet. Like, we just assume he's available and we're assuming Paul George is. So it's not like, it's not like someone has publicly came and demanded a trade and the Warriors are just sitting idly.
Well, Chicago, you can have Zach LaVine, or you can have the guy, James Bouknight, who could be the next Zach LaVine.
Plus Josh Giddey. Yeah.
You know, plus Chris Bosh. You know, come on.
Gary, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Good. What do you got going on for?
I got a two-parter. What do you guys make of the 2022 Warriors championship odds being 8-1, which is third right now? Is that Vegas kind of just working the money, knowing the Warriors have a big fan base? And Or do they know that a big move is coming and they're kind of getting ready for that? And my other question is, what is Sam Sources saying on what's Beal's situation is in D.C.?
I have nothing to say on Brad Beal, but the Vegas stuff's interesting, Andy. I think it's a little bit of everything. I don't know about you. I think it's a little bit that they think the league isn't that strong, and if Clay is healthy, they're not that far off. I think it's a little bit you never know who the Warriors are, like one move away. And I think it's a little bit they knowing a lot of people like the Warriors.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The Warriors have a fantastic freaking fan base. Like, we're not just talking about light years listeners who are obviously the best Warriors fans that are out there, but Warriors fans are enormous. As much
Arudite fans.
We got great fans. Like, you and I, great fans. We're the best. You and I. But I think part of it is that I'm with you on the part where I don't think they think that the league is that amazing, at least in terms of, like, there's two teams here that are going to win a championship. Like, who? Right now we're watching the Bucks and the Suns. Fantastic series. I hope the Bucks win.
I think Brooklyn has the highest ceiling.
Yes, yes.
But, like, they're so volatile.
Kyrie just sprained an ankle. James Harden's fat. Right, and he's not ready to play ever.
Kyrie started taking like just sick days for no reason. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To party, like I had half the time. Like sometimes he would be actually out, and then sometimes he'd be out. Nobody knows what he's doing. Can you see him at a party? It's like I don't know what's going on over there. Anyway, it's not about. I think it's a fair. I also think part of it's they think that the Warriors going to make a move, right? Like part of it is they look at the Warriors pieces there, and they're like, well, they got to get someone. Like or at the very least, they got to get someone like Batum who's going to help him out. Right, that's a name that probably is on the table now. Like he's probably not going back to the Clippers. Like he's probably saying like, well, okay, I got to go chase rings somewhere. Maybe. But like that's another guy. Like maybe these guys are going to get those vets now that they couldn't get last year. So third, probably a little high, Sam. But you know, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's crazy.
No, I think it's in the realm, and I think everything is you know, it's all open right now.
Yeah. That's why they got to make
it. No.
John. McWalter, what's up, my man?
What's up? Hey, I like the Olympic talks there. Really worried about the U.S.'s draw. Iran, powerhouse, you know, Czech Republic. I watched Wiggins tear him apart and almost knock him out. Pre-qualification, they're dependent on Jan Basley. Well, I mean, come on. He made a miracle six-point run with 12 seconds left. I mean, shit. What do you expect Canada to debacle in and of themselves, and then France in their group. There's nothing to worry about. I don't know why people have their panties in a bunch over the Team USA. You know, they're going to be fine. They're missing three guys in the finals right now. They're going to be just fine. This isn't on panic level. If we had Spain or Argentina, or not Argentina, we just wax them, but like Spain or Slovenia with Luka in our bracket, be a little worried. But nah. Not right now. And as far as the Dubs go, I want them to make the picks. Get some youth on this darn team, and let's round out the bench. And then we can bring in a veteran, like you just said. Batum's probably on the move. Serge Ibaka's probably on the move. All these ring chasers are now going to be available again. You know, we all fawned over Marc Gasol, who got no playing time. He got put behind Drummond. He's probably also available. But you know, there's a whole bunch of options out there that we can tap into. Let's make these picks and fix our bench, right? That's one of the best ways to do it. And if they're any good at all, like Poole looked last year, you turn around and trade them, and then you bring in some assets. That, or else you do Godfather, like you guys said earlier, and bring Paul George in. But I don't think the Clippers would do it. I think the Clippers would want to try to get a bazillion draft picks because they traded away something to get George.
Yeah. That's true. The Clippers did trade away every pick through four presidential cycles. So, I think McWalter's actually probably mirrors how the Warriors feel about it, which is like, hey man, we're going to upgrade our player development staff. And you know what? Let's not trade James Wiseman off of a bad year. Let's make him look like a superstar so we can make teams beg us for him as opposed to the other way around. So I think there's some value in that statement, even though we all want them to kind of move faster.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Warriors are in a good place. They will.
What's up, Will?
Yo, what's up, fellas? I think the biggest fear that I have is we're going to do something similar. It's kind of what the 49ers did, where we trade our assets. Like, they trade their two first rounders to move up to get Trey Lance, who I like. I think he's going to be a good player for the Niners. But granted, like, he's never touched a field in the NFL yet. He's come from the D2. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers became available after that. I'd be wary of us trading, like, you know, some key pieces of our Godfather offer for a guy like Derek White, who's a, you know, a solid player, man. I think he could really help our team. But who's to say if, like, Dame officially becomes available after we make that trade, or, you know, Paul right. George. Right. You know, I think that's what I'm worried about the most. But who's to say we trade the picks at all? I mean, all these new hires are very, you know, there's one common factor. It's all about development. You know what I mean? With Malala, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Kenny Atkinson, right. Those type of guys.
Right.
But, you know, I guess the final question I'll leave you guys with is, let's say we have the Godfather offer on the table for Paul George and LaVine, and they're both available. Who would you want more between those two guys?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Oh,
this man. Is Yo, Sam, this is an amazing
– players. Oh, God.
Sam, this, is an this is an amazing hypothetical that could turn this into a three-hour show. I'm not ready to do it right now.
It's not close. It's
because not close. On the one hand – one. Stop it. It's obviously LaVine. I mean, Paul George helps you win more next year, but LaVine is 25, man.
I know.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It's tough. I'm sorry. Did you see his dunk today? I'm sorry, man. It's tough for me. Clay's going to come back slow. It's better that Clay guards LeBron anyway.
I think LaVine jumps twice on his dunks. It is actually ridiculous. And Paul George, you win two titles and you move on. Zach LaVine is yeah, he's awesome too, but his defense isn't anywhere close to Paul George. But
no, and it never will be, because very few players will be. So
you know, it's he makes a Will Decker makes a, it's, a decent point though.
It's a go all. It's a go all in with the perfect fit for the next 3 years versus take the talent who's going to be an all star for the next 8 years and. That's a tough one. It's a tough one.
What do you think the Warriors? What do you think? Steve, Bob, and they'll take Paul George.
Okay, first off, Steve and Steph will be like, "Give me Paul George. Yeah. I don't care about your future." But management will make it a much tougher choice for the same reason that I'm making it, which is like, right. I don't know. Anyway, they're not going to be in a position where people are like, "Which one do you want to take, Paul George or LaVine?" So, but it is a fun hypothetical.
Oh, you take look one who's and calling. You're happy.
Look who's calling in.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Awesome.
The legend.
Hey, the legend, boy, here you
to, good? The legend here to talk some trash after the big win Monday night.
Hell yeah.
Nah, man, I'm humble as fuck. You know that. It's all good, buddy.
What's up, Luke?
Yeah, man, all good. I was just watching Australia pump the shit out of the guys you couldn't beat, so it was all good.
We need a Max Patty Mills.
Well, man, if he's available, let's fucking do it. You know what I mean? Let's get it. I was just going to ask. Sorry, I can't be there for the party, boys. COVID's fucked here again. So I wish I could come over and go there, but that'd be sick. But anyway, I just wanted to ask. I don't know if you guys saw the replay just then of Australia, Nigeria. What's your thoughts on Giddy? Because I just asked Tony and OZ in the Discord, and they were asking me about his measurables, and they're all like, oh, fuck. But he seems like a guy that, like, if like, you know, Draymond doesn't tamper the fuck out of the joint in the Olympics and we don't get, like, say, Beal or someone, which I'm hoping I'm wrong, because anyone that thinks we don't need a fucking superstar is absolutely kidding themselves. We get a superstar, we're back in the ball game now, especially with the Kawhi Leonard news. What if we do keep our picks, right, and it's 7-14, what do you guys think about a guy that can just actually fucking play and be trusted to play in a rotation like Giddy? That's what I was kind of going to ask you guys about, because I haven't really heard you much talk about this bloke. So I wanted to kind of know what you guys thought about that.
I do like Josh Giddey. It's so the hard thing with the draft, by the way, Luke, appreciate it. So the question for me is, do you believe Josh Giddey will eventually be a shooter? Because I guarantee you the guy is going to be smart enough to play in the NBA court. He's a point guard. He's a huge point guard. The real question for me is he going to be able to hit shots good enough at an NBA level to be a starter? Or is he going to be like what Wasserman said on our last podcast, a supersized Ricky?
By the way, I got to Josh Giddey, a big
Ricky Rubio is objectively a very good player, but you do get what I'm saying with like the up. If he can hit outside shots.
Yeah, I got to the Giddey stuff, and that's what I thought as well. I mean, I'm not watching all his games again. That's always my thing, but he's really smart. And he's 19. And for someone 18. As smart as that at 19 years old, or 18, like I remember he was extremely young. As someone that's 18 years old and extremely smart, that tells me he's a basketball player. He's an NBA player for probably the next 10 years, 15 years, right? And so, like you said, he would get hot, get confident, and he would be able to make some threes. But we don't know how consistent that is. Is he going to be able to play right away? I doubt it. He's 18 years old. Like, LeBron James is the only player that can do that. And so... I doubt he's going to be able to play right away, but that's a player that's probably there at 14. And I think is also, he's a guy that Steve Kerr probably loves. Like, that's the other thing.
Here's my thing. I like every player in the 7 to 14 range, but I don't feel confident about them. Like, I think James Bouknight can be a special scorer, but I'm not convinced he can pass the ball well enough to. And if he can't pass the ball well enough, he's just going to be a sixth man. You know what I'm saying? I think Josh Giddey has some special vision. He really knows how to play basketball. A little slow, so he's probably not going to be great on defense. But I don't know if he can shoot the ball well enough. And if he can't shoot the ball well enough, he might just be like a great second unit playmaker, right?
Franz Wagner, I can
keep going on. All I'm saying is,
yeah,
like,
they are like
there's a reason they're in the second tier and not in the first tier, because like I don't have those doubts about Cade Cunningham or Jalen Green. Like, I know those guys will be damn good, and that's the hard part. Quite frankly, that's what you get paid to figure out, right?
That's also what Kenny Atkinson and Jamal Mulalela. And you know, I got
Milojevic.
God, I'm so sorry, guys. But like that's what those guys are here for. That's why the Warriors hired these guys, right? So if they're gonna use these picks, which 50-50 that they're gonna use both of them, you know, if Josh Giddey is gonna develop a shot, it's up to these guys. These guys are gonna help him do that.
And you by the way, Kawhi, don't you? What's,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't you feel like seven's a little aggressive to take Josh Giddey, but I don't think he's going to last to 14.
God, like that's how, like four players.
That's how I feel about Franz Wagner, who I think would be a perfect Warrior player. I don't want to take him at seven because I'm not convinced he has like cornerstone upside, but I don't think he's lasting to 14. Bouknight, same deal. And, you know, we haven't even talked about like Moses Moody or some of the other guys, but like, it applies to all of them.
God.
It's kind of it's like in some ways I feel like trading one of the picks and using the other one is the move, because you're going to get the same level of prospect at 14 and 7, but you know, someone has to actually want to trade you someone worthwhile for the pick.
And I think the other thing, too, is I don't know if there's a such thing as a reach at seven. I know Nash Mimon is in the chat saying that, but I don't know if there's a reach there. Like, I think there's no guy at seven where you're saying, like, wow, he has incredible talent and immeasurables, like Kuminga and Scotty Barnes. We can't pass on him to take Giddey. But, like, at seven, yeah, Bouknight probably has the highest upside there. But if the Warriors pass on him, I'm not killing myself. Well, No. But like, I'm not depressed, right? Like, they can take Giddey there.
It's not a no brainer. It's not like they're sitting at four with Jalen Suggs and Kuminga and Barnes on the board and decided to like go random.
Yeah,
there.
Let me get Bouknight at four. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe it'll work out. But it's like, well, why don't you just trade down and get that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
If the Warriors trade down to 10, like, probably can't get Bouknight. Who knows? Like, or maybe Bouknight slides to 13. Like you said, Sam, like it's all the same guys, it feel like, at that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 mark. It's just kind of – it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be great. That's why y'all need to come to the draft show when the new tickets come out.
What's up, man?
Hey, can you guys
hear me? What's up, man? Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Okay. Not much. Hey, I want to know, What do you guys first of all, I got a comment. I don't think Beal is coming here. I think that I seriously believe that he's going to end up with the Celtics. It's going to be a big three with Tatum and Brown. Ooh. Just so much stuff I've been reading and just Ooh. Watching those two on the court together and all that. It's just, yeah.
Well, they went to the same high school. They've known each other since they were kids. So
Exactly. And also, if we don't get a star, is there any way we could acquire Duncan Robinson or maybe Bogdan from Atlanta? Because Clay is not going to be available until December, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's fair.
That's a great question. So Duncan Robinson, any of those free agents are out the window because they're all going to. The Warriors are only going to be able to sign someone for the taxpayer mid-level, which is $6 million. They're not getting Duncan Robinson for that. Now, someone like Bogdanovich, I kind of feel like he played so well that Atlanta's not going to trade him. But they always have trade options. I don't know, man. I just don't see it. I think it's more likely that they maybe get Batum. Batum for the taxpayer would be he's not going to replace Clay, but he does help you in different ways.
And that's A++.
Yeah. And then you hope the draft works out, and you just kind of have to live with the fact that when Clay doesn't play, shooting's it's a lot on Steph. But
yeah, I mean that's welcome to the as much as Joe Lacob thinks it's about him. It's a lot. It's mostly on Steph. It's mostly on
Steph. Last caller of the night. Take us home. The problematic option zero.
No, I'm good today, man. I don't have any more trade or draft talk. You guys know the score. I'm not going to rehash it all, but I just got to say, Sam, Andy, do not let me down on the next premium pod. You know what I want? Do the thing. And also to the 103 people in the speaker in the room, sign up for premium. Do not miss this. If it's what I think it is, don't let me down, guys. That's all. Otherwise, thanks.
That is a perfect call to. That is the.
By the way, yeah, I hope
that is a perfect call. That is a perfect call to end it on. We appreciate everyone who stopped by today. We'll be back Thursday night after. I don't know what time it is on Thursday, but we'll figure it out.
We'll be back at some point.
Yeah, we got some good stuff going next week. We'll get Sam Vecenie on before the draft. We got a couple other good guests.
Slater,
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. Appreciate you all, guys. Have a good night.